overcomer. Oh, how many overcomers do we have in the house? Aha. Hallelujah. 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 Overcomers are victorious people. There are three kinds of people you find on the earth. Some people are fought and lost. So they are losers. Some are fighting, presently believing God to win. So they are potential winners. And then we have people that have fought and God has helped them, they've won. So those ones are the reigning winners. Which one are you? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. KJV. The KJV. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible says, 1 John 4, verse 4. Please, can we have it on the screen? 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Brethren, we live in a world of battle. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Samuel 3, verse 1. The Bible says there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. A war is a series of battles. Long war. Whether you like it or not, as believers from birth to death, we'll be fighting battles. A long war. Life is full of battles. But the good news we have is that God said you have overcome. It means it is already settled. God has given us victory. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. On the cross, our victory was settled. The battle was won for you and I. So it was a settled matter. Verse 15, the Bible says Jesus defeated Satan. It was an open show. So victory is secured for us. We are already overcomers. He said you have overcome them. Not you will overcome them. He said you have. It's already a settled matter. You have overcome them. So somebody is asking me, if we have overcome them, why are we still fighting? Wow. Why would God say we should fight a battle that is already settled, already won? The reason why we are fighting is that we are not fighting a bad fight. We are fighting a good fight. 1 Timothy 6 verse 12. The Bible says, fight a good fight of faith. This fight is not a bad fight. It's a good fight. You know why? Because it's a fight not for victory, but from victory. We are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. That's why it's not a bad fight. It's a good fight. You already know the result, but you must still fight. Why must we fight? You must fight to claim the result. You will walk around Chicago begging for money if you are not aware that somebody already left for you $100,000 in your account. You will still be begging. Instead of being a blessing, you'll be a beggar. If you are not aware that there's something left for you. So until you know and you take step, you can't claim it. You can't take possession of it. The same way, we have been given victory. However, we are asked to fight. And that fight is a good fight to activate to claim the victory that we have been given. Deuteronomy 2 verse 24. Did I say Deuteronomy or dethrone your enemy? Deuteronomy 2 24. In the KJV, God said to them, I've given you the land. Rise up. Take your journey. Pass over the river. Behold, I've given unto your hand Sihon the Amorite, the king of Heshbon, and his land. He said, I've given it to you. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. Even though I've given it to you, there's for you to take it, you need to contend with him in battle. It's a settled matter, but you need to contend. You need to fight to get it. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18. 1 Timothy 1 18 NLT. Look at what the Bible says on the screen. 1 Timothy 1 18 says, This charge I commit unto you. Said, my son, here are my instructions for you. Based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. The prophetic words that Pastor E declared over you. That Adijo declared. Spoken about you earlier. May they help you to do what? To fight well. Fight well. Where? In the lost battle. So there's a battle to fight. And it's a good fight. Because we are not fighting to be victorious. We are fighting because we are already victorious, just claiming the victory. So there's need to fight. Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 14. There's a chart for you. Nehemiah 4:14, the same NLT. Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 14. Then as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people. And I said to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious. What should you do? He said, fight for your brothers. What should you do again? Fight for your sons. He said, fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives. And fight for your home. To be an overcomer, you need to engage in this spiritual warfare. Fight for your marriage. Don't give up. Fight for your husband. If your husband has become the wife at home, you need to fight for him. In the place of warfare, destiny, things can be turned around. Somebody said, but prayer is not everything. I agree. Prayer may not be everything, but prayer can do everything. Can do anything. Fight. So we are called as overcomers to fight, to claim our victory. There are seven things that God wants you to overcome. And I'll be showing you seven weapons you need to fight before I drop the mic. So the first thing God wants you to overcome, he said, little children, you have overcome them. Who or what are the them? The first thing as an overcomer, God wants you to overcome, is Satan. That's the first S. Seven S we are looking at. The first is Satan. God wants you to overcome Satan. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him. It's talking about Satan. They overcame him. God wants you to overcome Satan. Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 11. Say, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand all the fiery darts. You know, you may be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. So God wants to overcome Satan. Why? Satan does not want any good for you. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The Bible says, your adversary, KJV, your adversary, the devil, is going around looking for whom he will devour. Looking for someone to devour. Can I pray for somebody in this service? Every strategy of the enemy to bring you down, to frustrate your life, frustrate your family, the Lord will frustrate them in the mighty name of Jesus. I thought you would say a louder amen. So God wants to overcome Satan. And how do you overcome him? The Bible says you must resist him steadfastly. In verse 9 of the same scripture we read, it says, whom resist steadfast in the faith? First Thessalonians 2 verse 18. Apostle Paul said, I would have come to you once and again, but Satan hindered us. Satan stood on our way. I would have gotten married, Satan hindered. I would have gotten that job, but Satan is a hindering spirit. Satan hindered. Satan stood on the way. Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest, and he showed me Satan standing on his right hand to do what? To resist him. Satan will not want anything good to happen in your life. That's why God gave us an admonition in James 4 verse 7. James 4 verse 7. He says, submit yourself unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Wherever you are seated, just lift your right hand with me and join me in prayer. Loud and clear, say, Father. Make it loud and say, Father. Make it loud and say, Father. Every satanic agenda over my life and my family, oh, I reject it in the name of Jesus. I come against it in the name of Jesus. It will not stand. It will not come to pass. Are you praying that prayer? Say, Lord, every satanic plan, Isaiah 7 verse 7, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Every satanic plan, every agenda from the pit of hell over my life, over my wife, my children, my job, my business. I thought overcomers will pray. This is a praying church. I want you to pray. Lord, I come against it. It shall not stand. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we're praying. Let me run quickly. So the second S that God wants to overcome is sickness. The first is Satan. Second is sickness. Luke 13 verse 16. Luke 13 verse 16. Jesus was speaking. He says, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound these 18 years, with be loosed from this infirmity. She was bent over for 18 years, even though she was a daughter of Abraham. So you can be a daughter of Abraham if you don't understand that, if you don't know how to claim your victory, you can be bound with sickness. She was bent over. And Jesus said, no, this is not correct. He said, I've settled it already. He has given us victory over sickness. We are to overcome. 1 Peter 2 verse 24. 1 Peter 2 verse 24. The Bible says, by his stripes we were healed. Not we will be healed. By whose stripes ye were. Already settled victory. You are just to claim it. You are just to walk into it. By whose stripes you were healed. Isaiah 33 verse 24. Isaiah 33 verse 24. The Bible says, and the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. Members of Victory House will never have to say, I am sick. You know why? Because whatever God did not plant in your body, today, in this service, the fire of God will uproot them in the name of Jesus. Sickness is not your portion. No. There's no time to give you several testimonies. There was a man that I knew many years ago, he got a new job for some reason. He got to that office and he said he hit his leg somewhere. And from that day, he could not walk again. Moving him from hospital to hospital. I want to pray for you. Anything that will happen to you, that will be carrying you from hospital to hospital, from place to place, if your amen is louder, God will keep it far away from you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Any stranger hiding anywhere in your body, any sickness, any disease, hiding any... The Bible says when strangers hear my voice, they will run away from their close places. I stand by the authority of Jehovah and I declare today, every stranger hibernating, disturbing your kidney, your liver, your body, your system, I command them uprooted right now in the name of Jesus. Lift up your right hand with me. Say, Father, I reject sickness in my body. Are you praying that prayer? I reject disease. I reject sickness. Whatever you have not planted, I stand on Matthew 15 verse 13. Whatever makosate you have not planted in my body, I command it uprooted in the name of Jesus. Sickness is not my portion. Disease is not my portion. I reject sickness. I reject disease in my body. Lakozalea kapa e karagadagada. I reject it. In Jesus' name, we pray. What's the first S God wants you to overcome? What's the second S? The third one is suffering. Hey, you are born again, you will not suffer again. God wants you. You know why? The Bible told us very clearly. The work that Jesus did, he settled it for you. The Bible says, even though he was rich, what happened? 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. Show us on the screen. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. The Bible says, even though he was rich, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor, so that through his poverty, you might be rich. That's the finished work. So he overcame poverty on your behalf. So if you are poor, it's your choice. I'm telling you the truth. And don't mistake me for a... I'm not a prosperity preacher. I'm a prosperous preacher. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I don't preach prosperity. I live prosperity. We're in two different categories. So people are preaching prosperity. I'm not into prosperity preaching. Hallelujah. And in the next chapter, chapter 9 verse 8, if you look at it in the NLT, the Bible says God is so generous. Chapter 9 verse 8, the same scripture, 9 verse 8, 2 Corinthians, this time chapter 9 verse 8 in the NLT. It said, 9:8, NLT please. God bless you, Miriam. 9 verse 8, he said, God is able, God will generously provide, how many? All you need. Then, you will always have everything you need. And what? And plenty left over. To do what? To share with others. That's the realm. Blessed to be a blessing. Rich to reach others. You have in abundance to reach other people. Lift up your right and say, I reject poverty. You're not praying to say, I reject poverty. I don't like the way you're saying to say, I reject poverty. Oh, I reject poverty. In my family, we reject poverty. Over my children, I reject poverty. I will not be poor in the name of Jesus. Amen. Some of you are, God is interested in your prosperity. I'm telling you. Is in the scripture. Psalm 35 verse 27. The Bible says, God be magnified. God, let them say continually. The Lord, 35, 27, KJV. Once, I don't mention another version, just give me KJV. The Lord Lord be magnified that takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Takes pleasure. God is not under pressure when you prosper.
It takes pleasure.
And this scripture will interest you. Genesis 26, 13. You know the scripture already, but I will show you a new version. The NKJV. I know you read NKJV a lot here. The New King James of Genesis 26, 13. See what the Bible says. And this is my story. It says, the man of Barrow Jacob, what did he do? He began to prosper. What happened to him again? Continued prospering. And what happened? Lift up your right hand and say, I reject poverty. Oh, say, I will begin to prosper. I will continue to prosper. Hey, I will become prosperous. Are you praying it? Are you declaring it? Oh, I reject poverty in my life. I reject poverty. I will not beg for bread. In the name of Jesus, I will begin to prosper. My career will begin to prosper. My business will begin to prosper. It will continue to prosper until I become very prosperous. In Jesus' name, we are praying. The third S. The first one is Satan. Second one is what? Sickness. The third is suffering. The fourth one is stagnation. 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 God does not want you to be stagnant at all. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. As we behold him as in a mirror, we are changed from glory to glory. It is never from glory to shame. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs 4:18. The path of the just is like the shining light that shines more and more. Your today should be an embarrassment to your yesterday. When they look at your today, your yesterday should be an embarrassment. Are you sure you are the one that we knew last year? Because we have moved to the next level. And you know what Jesus said? John 14:12. That's the mandate. He said, the works I do, he said, you will do. But you will not just stop there, because you are not meant to be stagnated. He said, you will do, but greater than I did, greater works you will do. Greater works. God does not want you to be, he wants you to overcome stagnation in every area. Your spiritual life, your prayer life, or you are praying 5 minutes last year, this year, he expects you to have stepped forward. Moved on. Difficult to study your Bible. Now, he expects that there will be systematic progress. You must keep progressing. Advancing. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 5. 1 Samuel 12, 5. He said, it is God. It is God. 1 Samuel 12:5. I think it's in the NLT. He said, it is God that advanced, is it verse 5? That advanced Moses and Aaron. Advanced them. God wants to, he wants your life to keep moving forward, making progress. Lift up your right hand with me loud and clear. Say, Father, I reject stagnation. Oh, I reject stagnation. My life move forward. Oh, I reject stagnation. In my spiritual life, I reject stagnation. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I reject stagnation. Lord, I reject stagnation. Lord, I reject stagnation. In the name of Jesus, Lokosh, I will not be stagnated in the spirit. Barakatele barakatos. Hey, my spiritual life will not be stagnant. My prayer life will not be stagnant. You're not praying that prayer. I reject stagnation. In the name of Jesus. My spiritual life will not be stagnant. My prayer life will not be stagnant. Lord, I reject stagnation. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I reject stagnation. Lord, I reject stagnation. Lord, I reject stagnation. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we are praying. In Jesus' name, we are praying. I told you we are looking at seven. What's the first one I said? Satan. Sickness, suffering, and the fourth one we have looked at is what? Is stagnation. The next one, God wants you to overcome self. He wants you to overcome self. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27. Apostle Paul said, I put myself under. So that after I have preached the gospel to other people, I will not be a what? A castaway. Self. Many people have conquered others, but they've not been able to conquer themselves. The greatest victory is victory over self. Samson could kill 1,000 soldiers with the jawbone of an axe, but he cannot control his own passion. He can't kill his own passion. A small girl finished them. Proverbs 25:28. The Bible says, he that has no control, he that has no rule over his own spirit, is like a city broken down without walls. NLT says, a man that has no self-control. That's no self-control. A person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. God wants you to overcome yourself. Overcome yourself. Proverbs 5:23. I want you to the NLT and the Message translation. Proverbs 5:23. He will die for lack of self-control. It was lack of self-control that killed Samson. Many of us are born again, but you have not been able to conquer anger. Say, no. When I'm angry, you know, there's an argument in the home. And you carry your TV and you hit it on the floor. Wah! By the time the anger clears, you'll be watching yourself. Way back in Nigeria, I heard the story of a man that was angry. I don't know what happened between him and his wife. And he threw the wife from a story building. It was not the one that threw out, it was anger. But by the time she landed and she died, suddenly he discovered it was not football that he threw. He didn't think about jail. He didn't think about the consequence. Have you been able to conquer pride? Some of you don't know you are proud until occasion shows up. You have conquered everything. You have conquered the devil. You have conquered sickness. You have conquered, but you have not been able to conquer self. You've not been able to conquer self. I remember many years ago, I was pastoring the church, and a woman visited our church, one of our brothers in the ushering department, a sister in Sunday school. The brother wanted to marry the sister in the Sunday school department, and the mom of the brother said, I need to come to your church. I need to come and see this sister. I need you to introduce her to me. Don't bring her home. And the mom came to that service. And after the service, she left. And the next thing, the brother came to me and said, my mom said, I can't marry that sister. I said, why? Your mom don't know her. They've never met. She said, no. They just met for the first time. She said, no, I can't marry. So by the time we probed in, and we got to Mama, and we discovered that the day the mother came to church, as she came before service, something happened. There was an argument between that Sunday school teacher sister with another brother in church, and then she just did she spark or she spoke? She just exploded, And the woman was wondering, she didn't know that's a potential daughter-in-law. She was just a gentle, you know, observer. This lady is not ladylike at all. She's too violent. She was just talking to herself. And after service, the brother said, "Mommy, it's time for introduction." So he brought the same sister to the mom and said, "Mommy, so that's the anointed Sunday school teacher." So the mom greeted her. So when they got home, he said, "My son, that lady is too advanced." "How do you know?" He said, "She's too advanced for you." Said, "She's too advanced. You can't marry her. Advanced in one way. She's a nice teacher." Said, "My son, am I the one that gave birth to you? Did you suck? That girl is too advanced for you." It was later we found out what being advanced actually meant. Have you conquered self? Have you conquered your appetite? Some of you can't fight. You can't fast. You know why? Food must always be going in. And you want to be an overcomer. How? You can't fast. Breakfast, lunch, which ones are the ones in between? You can't fast. Like I used to humorously tell people in Nigeria, you know, the food God allocated for you for 70 years, you eat it in 30 years. And when you finish it, they say, "Come home. Because you have finished your allocation." Have you been able to conquer self, appetite? The only time God recommended suicide, he said, when you go to the house of a king, Proverbs 23, verse 2, and you can't control, if you have long throat, he said, put a knife. I didn't recommend it. That's what the Bible says. So if you can't control your appetite, put a knife on your throat. It is not every food you eat. It's not everywhere you go to you eat. Not everywhere. It's not every occasion you must eat. Some people, the measurement of how successful an occasion is the quantity of food they're able to eat. Somebody went for a wedding, there's no food. How was the wedding? No, it was dry. Who told you it was dry? Because your love rice didn't get to you. So your conclusion, it was very dry. Because there was no food for you. Control of your passion. Control. Control. Have you been able to conquer self? Lift up your right hand and pray. Say, "Father, help me. Help me. Help me to conquer myself. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Work in me." You know, Apostle Paul said, "It is God working in us. Oh God, work in me. Everything that is not of you, pride. Lord, everything that does not glorify you, take it away. Work in me. Work in me." In Jesus' name we pray. And finally, I'll just share one more because of time. Sin. You need to conquer sin. God wants you to overcome sin. Romans 6:14. The Bible says, sin shall not have dominion over you. God wants you to conquer sin. Stop playing with sin the way children play with toys. God wants you to conquer sin. Sin must never conquer you. That's why in Proverbs 23:28-13, he says, "He that covers his sin will not prosper." In the remaining 1 minute I have, please listen to me. Just write this down. The weapons you need as a believer for you to overcome. Number one is the word of God. The weapons you need, 7 of them. Number one is the word of God. Jeremiah 23:29. Say, "My word is like a hammer." The word of God. The word of God. Please study this word. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study the word. Don't pray empty prayers. I saw the way pastor was praying the other time. He was sharing scriptures with us. Proverbial prayers does not hold water in the realm of the spirit. The God that drives away fly. For the cow that has no helper. Help me. They don't drive away fly in the realm of the spirit. You must have a scripture to back up every prayer that you want to pray. The word of God is a strong weapon. Hebrews 4:12. Said the word of God is like a two-edged sword. So, that's the first weapon, word of God. Please study, chew it, meditate, get the word. Many believers are very shallow with the word. Take time. Today, the word has become easy. On your phone, you can download several versions. If you can't read, there's a problem. You can listen. There's audio Bible. Life is not very easy. Very easy. So the word of God is a strong weapon. When Satan came against Jesus, you remember the story in Matthew chapter 4. What did Jesus say? It is written. So you must know what is written. If you don't know what is written, you can be written off. You must know what is written. Second weapon is the blood of Jesus. Of course, you know that. It's a strong weapon. Blood of Jesus. Revelation 12:11. And we overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Blood of Jesus is a strong weapon that you need to overcome. Number three weapon you need is the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Proverbs 18 verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it. And what? And they are saved. The name of Jesus. So as you are praying, mention the name. The name is powerful. Philippians 2 from verse 5 to 7. God has given him a name that is highly lifted above every other name. That at the mention of the name of Jesus, the Bible says every knee must what? Must bow. Can somebody shout that name loud and clear? You are not shouting it. Shout it. Shout it like an overcomer. Name of Jesus. Number four weapon you need is faith. Faith. Ephesians 6:16. The Bible says, take unto you the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith. Your faith. What is your faith? Your belief in God. Your anchor in God. I trust God. I believe God. I believe God. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1 verse 45, blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance. Jesus said to Mary and Martha, John 11 verse 40, if you can believe, he said, you will see the glory of God. Mark 9:23, Jesus said to that man, said, only believe, because all things are possible to him that believe. Mark 11:23-25. He says, have faith in God. If you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, and you say to this mountain, move. Many of you have faith, but not in God. How did you know that this chair will not drop you on the floor? Some of you are so comfortable. Some people even sit and rested. You don't know what has happened to this chair. You are not the one that produced this chair. That is faith. You sat down, you are not checking it. Some of you sat down on this chair this morning, you didn't check. That's faith. Believe God. Faith. 1 John 5:4. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. The Bible says, he that is born of God overcometh the world. Said, and this is the victory that overcome the world. Even what? Our faith. Faith is a strong weapon. Number what now? Number five. Is it number five or number four? The fifth weapon is prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Luke 18 verse 1. The Bible says men ought always, not sometimes, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And Jesus was speaking in Matthew 17:21. He said, some things will not happen except by prayer and fasting. I tell them that at church, 1 week without a fast makes you weak. You can't be eating Monday to Sunday now. Every week. Only you. You're just eating. On Monday, you eat 3 times. Tuesday, 4 times. Wednesday. No. No. That's not how to be an overcomer. That's not how to be. At least you should consecrate at least one day in a week so that you don't get weak spiritually. Some things will not happen except by fasting. Are you with me this morning? And prayer. The number 6 weapon is praise. Worship. Worship is a strong weapon. Psalm 149 says, let the praise from verse 6 to 9. It says, let the praise of God be in our mouths and two-edged sword in our hand to execute judgment. When 5 kings came against Jehoshaphat, the weapon deployed was praise. When things are rough, tough, praise God. It's a strong weapon. Just worship God. Praise Him. And you see what will happen. And then the last weapon is holiness. Holiness is a strong weapon. Holiness is a strong weapon. Look at this scripture. 1 John 5:18. 1 John 5:18. Holiness is a strong weapon. 1 John 5:18. He that is born, said, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. He that is begotten of God does what? Keepeth himself. And what happened? And the wicked one toucheth him not. Holiness. All those small, small compromises exposes your spiritual life. Exposes you to. You remember I told you at the beginning, Satan is going everywhere looking for who to devour. So he's looking for an opportunity. And remember, if you give him a foothold, he will turn it to a stronghold. Give him a foothold, turns it to a stronghold. Give him a foothold, turns it to a stronghold. I close with this story. I heard a story of a man doing very well in his business. Life is good. Things were working well. Suddenly, he started experiencing a downturn. Business going down. Started selling his cars. Started struggling to live. And as that was happening to him, his wife started moving up. God was blessing the wife. So an African man, he said his wife must go. That he feels his wife has got to exchange his glory. I know you guys don't understand what I'm saying. But in Nigeria, we understand what that means. Say, my wife has exchanged my glory. So they carry themselves to their pastor. Pastor, this woman must go. She has exchanged my glory. As pastor was about to pray, God revealed to him. Say, madam, please excuse us. And he said to the man, said, God is showing me that you are the architect of your problem. The Holy Ghost grabbed this man and he started crying. Say, yes, pastor. Actually, for some years now, I've been sleeping with my wife's younger sister that lives with us, and nobody knew. You know, for you, nobody knew. He was able to, because he had money, he could cover it. He covered the sin, but it was chop and clean out. He didn't know that it was chopping and cleaning his destiny. Sin is a sinker. Brethren, sin is a sinker. That's why the Bible says, he that covers his sin. Recently, one of my pastors called me, said, pastor, God showed me in the revelation that one of my minister's wife was sleeping with another man of God. And he called her. Madam, called her by 5 a.m. Holy Spirit woke him up. This Holy Spirit. Say, call her your member, that minister's wife. Tell her there's something she's doing. And they called her and said, pastor, nothing. As she was about to drop, according to her story, because they brought her to my office, said the Holy Spirit, squeezed her heart. Said, pastor, actually, there's something. The pastor on the other side felt it was all covered because he had some little change. And the woman said, actually, one thing led to the other. Married woman in her husband's house, sleeping with another married man, pastor. And there was no fear. Proverbs 28 verse 13. As I close, the Bible says, he that covers his sin will not prosper. You know, sometimes you look at ourselves in the church, we are just fighting. Nothing is happening. There's no testimony. Maybe our pastor doesn't have fire. Maybe there's no God somewhere. Have you checked yourself? The Bible says, examine yourself. Are you still an overcomer? Have you connected with the team of overcomers? Shall we bow our heads this morning as we pray? You are here this morning. Pastor, join me in prayer. I want to be an overcomer. I want to overcome the devil, overcome sickness, overcome stagnation, overcome sin. All you need to do is to reconnect back to Jesus. All you need to do is to connect with Jesus. So this morning, maybe God sent me all the way from Nigeria because of someone here that will say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to surrender all to Jesus so that I can be a true champion, can be an overcomer. So anywhere you are, you're in that category, you want to connect with Jesus, or you were once connected and you want to reconnect, please, as all heads are bowed, you are the only one to lift your right hand. I want to pray with you. God bless you. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. You are not lifting your hand to a man of God. No, you are lifting it to the God of men. Please, all heads bowed. If you are lifting those hands, lift them well. I want to pray with you now. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. You are lifting your hand. Lift it very well. I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to pray with you where you are. So I don't know if we have ushers that can get cards for them. So those that are right there where you are seated, those of you lifting your hand, lift it very well. As I pray with you, say, Lord Jesus, repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the word that you have sent to me today. Every record of sin. Wow. The Holy Spirit has to call you. Please come. All eyes closed, please. Those lifting their hand, come and kneel down this altar. Hey, altar is the place where destinies are altered for good. Come quickly, come quickly. Come quickly, come quickly. Don't be ashamed. Just come. Come and kneel on this altar of God. This is the throne of mercy. Please come. Please come. Come, come, come to this altar. I'm going to pray with you in a moment. Just come. Come, 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 come. Come very quickly. Lako Zutalia. Those of you that lifted your hand, I want you to come to this altar. Let me pray with you. God bless you, ma. God bless you. God bless you. Don't be ashamed. I saw some people lifted up their hands. Please just come. Kneel down by the altar. Say, Lord Jesus. So just repeat after me. If you are coming to join them, come very quickly. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Every record of sin that has disconnected me from you, let your blood wash away. Today, I accept you into my life. I rededicate myself to you. The power to go and sin no more, give unto me. Write my name in the book of life. Remove my name from the book of death. Make me an overcomer. Thank you, eternal Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Shall we please rise? I want us to pray just one prayer. Then I drop the microphone. Genesis 49 verse 9. 49 verse 19 in the KJV. Genesis 49 verse 19. Just declare with me. Somebody say, I'm an overcomer. Oh. Did that pour cold water in your spirit? Someone say, I'm an overcomer. All right. So, 19, sorry, verse 19. I'm an overcomer. 19. So, he said, God. Let's read it together. I want to go. God, a troop shall overcome him. But I prophesy to every one of you, no matter where you have been defeated, you will overcome at last. You will laugh last. In your marriage, you will laugh last.